All right, let's start then. Me and Tom here are, well, we've come here to tell you about Shapeshifter, a project that we've both been working on. For me, it's been, I think the first time I got in contact with it was 5 years ago. I think for Tom, it's one or two. Well, this is us. I work as a freelancer. I actually used to work at Oleander, where we just saw the presentation from, and I'm freelancing right now. And, well, Tom, just as me, is a member of the TSC, so the Technical Steering Committee of this project, and we're here to tell you something about it. Oh, that's some technical issues. We're back. This is not great. Anyway, the problem we're trying to, I'm going to talk to you about the problem we're trying to solve. What Shapeshifter is, how does it work, and also how to use it. I do hope the screen will get back to us.
I think so. The cable is a bit wonky.
There you go. Correct on the screen.
Right, so it's funny, actually, part of the slide you saw just now. It's actually fun to see the trend here because just 2 years ago, we had some areas where there were issues with congestion on our grid, and right now it's almost impossible to get anything going. Really, to get your data center up or get your solar panels up, it's just almost impossible. Where the previous presentation was about forecasting, we're actually on the other end of things. With the trends that she talked about, production and consumption is getting more simultaneous, it's getting less centralized, a lot of electrification. This means we're slowly getting into issues. So how does it look like if you draw it in a graph? This used to be our case. Well, quite simple. We expected use up until the green line. Capacity was black, and actually, the grid companies oversold their capacity a little bit because, it's not usually used for the whole thing. Really annoying. Sorry for this. Pull out the clicker, maybe that's the problem. Yeah, it's strange it shows up on the second screen there, but apparently the Beamer's not very happy with it. All right. Almost back. So it still wasn't that bad yet. I'm going to stand on this side so I can at least click on the laptop. At some point, it got so bad, our grid capacity is reached. And, well, if this happens, two things might happen. Either your transformer is sort of overloaded, but it will keep working. If you do it too often, what then happens is it will blow up, or it will really shorten its lifespan by a lot. So we try to prevent it from happening. We can also fix this problem by making sure it doesn't go over this peak anymore. How we do this, I'm just going to try and explain it without the screen. There's some major users on the net, let's say above 1 MW for their connection, that actually have some influence on when their energy is used. So if they, let's say a giant freezer, or they've got a battery somewhere stored. To them, it doesn't really matter. In case of the freezer, for example, the temperature needs to be between -25 and -20. So this means that if you don't use power at the peak, you can make sure that it's fixed. We're going to try a different approach for the screen.
Fix the presentation.
Give them 2 minutes, maybe. Really, any major company, in the beginning, it used to be voluntary. But at some point, problems are getting bigger and bigger. So we're getting into a state where it's actually allowed by Dutch law to force certain companies to comply with these rules to make sure that we're not having blackouts and, that the grid is saved.
He's working on it.
Ah, we've got a second screen. We're back. All right. Thank you. It was kind of stressful. So actually, the previous presentation, the OpenStef, this was really about creating insight. Where's your problem? When is your problem? How big is your problem? That only so the insight is just creating the graphs. You can identify problems by having your experts at your company determine, okay, at which points, how much load can our transformers handle? How much can our cables handle? So once you have that, you can know, okay, so these are risky areas because we see in our forecasts or in our measurements that we're nearing our limits in certain cases. Third one is a really interesting one. You can choose a solution because in the grid there's, not hundreds, but at least tens of possibilities to alleviate the pressure on your grid. And ShapeShifter, which we're talking about here, is one of them, which is in the market-based direction of solutions. Tom will tell a bit more about the contents of ShapeShifter itself. Of course, you need to activate a solution once you've chosen it. And the last part is actually kind of interesting too. If companies are saying that they've decreased their use, how do you actually determine that that's true? Because usually power usage is not stable anyway, so how do you know they've kept their promises? That's where ShapeShifter comes in. I hope you don't mind if I talk about this one. It was founded in 2014, by a couple of grid operators, but also IT companies and consultants, because it was a very common problem in Europe altogether, but it was started in the Netherlands because we've got a very, very stable power grid and we like to keep it that way. So that's where the need came from. It's actually put into practice by the Dutch DSOs. I worked on the first pilot project where we actually made sure that we didn't have to put in a temporary cable which would have cost €2 million for just 3 years because that was when the new transformer would have been in place. So it was a very nice project to work on. The USEF standard, that's the Universal Smart Energy Framework, has been updated a couple of times. In the meantime, it was relabeled to Universal Flex Trading Protocol, but that conflicted with UFTP, FTP. That was kind of annoying, so it was renamed to ShapeShifter, and hopefully we'll keep it that way for a little bit. And I think now it's Tom's turn to talk about what it does, or should I still take this one? I'll go into this one again. So in the grid, there's a lot of roles defined, and the Universal Smart Energy Framework actually defines all these roles. The most important ones here for ShapeShifter are the DSOs, aggregators, and prosumers. Aggregators are companies that usually provide some form of IT where they can trade on behalf of companies, prosumers or consumers or companies that actually have the physical flexibility, but the aggregator will be the party that's participating in the flex trading protocol. It's possible that those two are the same. It's not necessary that roles are separated. It might be that a prosumer actually takes on the aggregator role because they're big enough to just be a party in this flex trading protocol. The DSOs and TSOs are the parties that really send out the request, the flex request that Tom will probably talk about, into the market. All the aggregators will have time to respond to the request. Okay, apparently tomorrow at 6 p.m. Until 7 p.m. There's congestion on the production side, so please, if you can use extra power during that time in a certain region, we will actually pay you for it. That's an example situation that you can handle with Shapeshifter. So some typical flex applications, solar parks, talked about them, wind parks, freezers. I think that's a very interesting one. I'm not even sure if it has been done before to actually use a giant freezer as an energy storage for grid stabilization, so I thought it was a very cool use case. Well, farms with solar, close to the solar parks, of course. Steel mills, as they are major energy users and not necessarily time-specific in when they do so. In most of our early projects, we talked with greenhouses a lot because they have both large electricity connections and gas connections. So they can switch really easily or can even provide power back to the grid if they need to. So they're very nice from a flexibility perspective. Then I'll hand it over to my colleague, Tom.
Yeah, so in the time remaining, the Shapeshifter project, it consists of a specification which is published on GitHub, so yeah, you can scan the QR if you want. The specification is the one hand of the project. The other part is the XML schemas which are defined along with it. We are organized using a technical steering committee. We are part of the committee and also a couple of members from the UK DSOs and also from the Dutch DSOs. There are also two Shapeshifter implementations already. There is a Java library which is in use by Aleander and also at Gopax, which is the congestion platform we are using in the Netherlands. And there is a Python implementation which is used by another DSO. Everything is published under the Apache 2 license. We're currently focusing on improving our processes or our quality control, etc., to meet the OpenSSF best practices. And we're part of the LF Energy initiative. I will skip this for now. So we have a couple of implementations already that are using Shapeshifter. There was a demonstration project in the UK called Fusion. Good result from that. As I said, Gopax in the Netherlands. There are also some congestion service providers which are also implementing Shapeshifter on their end. So those are the CSP aggregator type of parties. And of course, the grid operators themselves are using it to facilitate trading of flexibility using using Shapeshifter. Skip this for now. Just one simple example of a what the protocol looks like. It's an XML-based protocol where the DSO can indicate what flexibility is required on the prosumer side, on which the prosumer can reply with one or more offers that they will be able to offer some flexibility to the grid operator, and the grid operator can then in turn reply to this message and say, okay, I want to use your flexibility during these hours to solve a specific congestion problem. 1 minute left. Current challenges we have with the project, we're trying to get as much of the prosumers involved as we can. So one of the challenges that we have to really keep a low entry barrier for these parties to connect using Shapeshifter. So one of the things is security is, of course, a very important topic. How can we keep it secure, but also keep the barrier really low for entering into this type of integrations? And the other thing is we need more contributors. So that's pretty much a story for every open source project. But there are different ways you can contribute. So if you find this interesting, please take a look at our GitHub and see if you can improve one of these items, for example. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Any questions? I see one in the back. Oh, there's no time. Sorry. Yeah, just come to the front and then take your question.
Give questions, please. Talk with them.